welcome to another episode of Priceless Love Talk Radio. How I missed listening to that. Hey guys, it's your girl, Eve, a Brooklyn girl in Uptown World, and I'm back. Yes, I've taken a long hiatus, sabbatical, right? I know, right? Shout out to all of my educator friends, sabbatical from the show. And I'll be talking a little bit about why. My sister was just like, damn, when was the last time you did a show? And I was like, girl, October. I don't know. I mean, I guess it was probably for like a whole bunch of reasons. I'm going to blame Shonda Rhimes in part because it's all about, you know what? When I started getting stuck after How to Get Away with Murder, I started thinking about changing the date. And then I started thinking about all these other things that I wanted to do that I haven't done. And voila. Next thing you know, 6 months happens, and yeah. But I've missed you guys, and shout out to everyone who kind of asked me about, like, when I was going to do another show. You guys are motivators, and now I'm back. So lots to talk about because we've been gone for a minute. So let's see what's going on in the world right now. So how many of you guys are watching, like, March Madness? From what I understand, tomorrow is the – what's tomorrow? Is that the Final Four? Yeah, so tomorrow's the Final Four, and I guess they're gonna decide who is going to win. So shout out to you if your brackets are intact. My sister's going for Michigan State to take it all. She said that those boys are beasts. I haven't really been watching the games. Honestly, they get me too riled up. Like, I am way too freaking excited when I watch these kind of when I watch these games. So I just don't even be trying to no. But some people really love them. What I do think is that I don't think that Kentucky's going to take it, y'all. I don't know. What you think? You think that Kentucky is taking it? I don't know if you think Kentucky is taking it. I don't know. I feel like the hype is – I'm nervous for them. And plus, I really do believe in that Sports Illustrated. Supposedly there's like a jinx that if people appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated, they don't win the chip. So I saw it happen. I saw Beast Mode on the cover of Sports Illustrated before the Super Bowl, and look what happened to the Seahawks? Yes, the Seahawks. So I think I'm still bitter from that. Like, I was just like, you know what? Oh, this is real. So I know that the boys from Kentucky ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated, so I was just like, I don't know, y'all. Yeah. The coach is amazing, right? So I'm always getting them out. You know what? I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like they remind me of each other. So there's Patino and Calipari, right? Calipari was the guy who used to, back in the days, and correct me if I'm wrong, right, Nation? I don't even know. But, and call in. The guest call-in number here is 914-338-0304. But Rick Pitino used to coach at UMass back in the day, right? I think. Or was it Calipari? Or was it both of them? I'm confused. But I don't know why they look alike to me. And you know how, like, you ain't supposed to say things like white people look alike, but they just look alike. I don't know. Yes, they have that same coach personality. And shout out to Chris Mullin, who is my sister said they look like they belong in the mafia. They do look like they could be Pat Riley's children, though, right? They all look kind of like like Al Pacino's their uncle and stuff. Yeah. But shout out to Chris Mullin, speaking of college coaches, who apparently went home, and he ended up at St. John's, which is now the Red Storm, right? I always get confused. My sister went to St. John's. That's her alma mater, so she's like, woo-hoo! But when she went there, they used to be the Redmen. And that's when they had, like, that hardcore rivalry with Georgetown. And that is when John Thompson, the first, I don't know if he's the first, but, you know, not the son, daddy. And he was the coach there. And those games used to be so intense. That's when the Big East was about something. Y'all, I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm going all in on and on about basketball. But shout out to you if you are a basketball fan. And this is just an exciting time to be, a basketball fan. However, it ain't an exciting time to be a Knicks fan. God, help us. I was just looking. Google just let me know that they are at 61 losses for the season. Like, for real? I feel really bad for Derek Fisher, though. I think that that's really a fucked up way to start your career as an NBA coach. The other side is that when you fuck up early, all you can do is fuck. So, that's the only other kind of little benefit, I guess, that I could see to it is that, you know what? All you can do is improve. After 60 losses, like, hopefully never again will he be able to experience that, because that's got to be painful. I think the worst part for Knicks fans is that they lose so many games so closely. Like, it'll be like 2 points, 4 points, 5 points, where you can see that two possessions would have definitely changed the game. So it's really just about, like, tweaking certain things to be able to make the team better and put them on the plus side. So hopefully for the next season they'll be able to really take stock and take note, because this shit is a wrap. Like, it's almost like, why the fuck play anymore? Y'all ain't never going to get no. Like, you can't. No. Just, is that possible, though? Can you just say, like, fuck it, I'm not going to do this no more? I don't know. Anyway. Just putting that kind of thought out there. So what else is going on? So this week, people have been talking a lot about Kendrick Lamar's new release, To Pimp a Butterfly. And I don't know. Y'all like it? I have been liking it. Apparently, it is a very – people have been saying that it is the blackest rap album, I guess, possibly be the case. Unapologetically black is what I've heard it be described as. And I personally like it because it has a lot of jazz samples, and one of my favorites, Robert Glasper. If you are a long-time listener of The Ripeness, then you will know that I absolutely stand for Robert Glasper. So I know that he's in one of the songs, and that kind of made me be like, I got to pick this up. But yesterday, I was listening to Spotify, which I forgot I even had loaded, but I was just like, fuck it, like, I'm going to listen to Spotify, only because I was trying to really figure out what would be the benefits of Jay-Z's new venture, Tidal. And I guess it's kind of like an online streaming service that apparently allows the artist to keep a bigger chunk of the money, and apparently, like, adds, like, more higher quality music fidelity. I'm going to tell y'all, motherfuckers, right now, I don't give a fuck. I'm not paying $20 for higher fidelity. What I fucking hear right now is fine. And if they're going to be playing some bullshit ass, like, Mustard One Beat, I don't think it gets any better. So if no one better, I'm going to just break out, dust out my turntables, and put the records on it so I can hear a little crisp. Anybody here besides me like that little crispy sound that records, you know, when you play like a record on a record player? I like that. That's all the fidelity I need. Give me whatever is free or no more than $10. I don't feel like people should have to pay more than $10. Like, there's some bullshit, especially when you already, like, if you're past a certain age where you own a lot of the music that you'll probably be listening to anyway, the fuck? Why am I paying you for access? Like, I just, y'all, I have issues with it. I have issues with it. And, you know, again, let me know what you guys are thinking about it. So call in 914-338-0304. Let me see what else is going on in the world here. So, Easter. Is there a parade here? Oh, there's hats, right? People, all right, so if you're in New York City, apparently, this weekend is Easter weekend, so happy Holy Week. I clearly am a debauched Christian, because I didn't remember that today is Holy Thursday. Tomorrow is Good Friday. You're not supposed to eat meat, right, on Good Friday? Okay, so if you're, you know, Catholic or whatever, you eat fish on Good Friday. And, yeah, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, so it's a big deal. So, you know, everybody out there who might be getting fly for that one day of the year, 2 days a year that you go to church, then, yeah, that this is your day. This is your time. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, last Sunday was Palm Sunday, so there were a lot of people in the street where it's fun.
Yeah, the churches are crowded.
The churches are crowded on Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday. But you know what? There's something very powerful about Easter Sunday, though. It's like, you know what? You can begin again, right? It's just like the idea that it's like, you know what? Life can regenerate. And if you ain't in the place that you are thinking that you need to be in life, you can start over. And I think that that's really the powerful message that people love about Easter Sunday. What do you think, Lissette? What do you think people love about Easter Sunday?
I think for me, actually, this Easter is going to be beautiful because it's spring. After this
finally,
intense cold, yep. I am looking forward to Easter. I'm going to wear yellow.
I wear some gold pom-pom shorts, yes, to church, because it's just been that fucking long since we have had some kind of warm weather. I mean, really, Mother Nature has been, like, playing us completely. If you are on the East Coast, especially the Northeast, because I've heard that people in Atlanta are having, like, 77-degree temperature, 80. Fuck y'all. But if you are in the Northeast where you have been cold and it has been, like, teasing you, like, it'll go to, like, 48 and then drop again.
Yeah,
it'll go to, like, 50, the next day snow. Nah, we back.
Okay.
So spring is here. Super exciting. Yay. But really, you know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, just with the same thing that it's great that, you know, we're celebrating religious holidays. Speaking of a religious holiday, this is an extremely unfortunate incident that happened today in Kenya where at a university, 147 people were killed as a, well, that's an act of terrorism, right? And apparently they were at a Christian university and they were killed by a Muslim group, which we don't really, I mean, I honestly have read very little about it because I'm still reeling from the German plane that went down. Jesus. I don't even want to spend too much time talking about that, Rap Nation. And you know that we like to get into that kind of stuff, or I do like to get into that kind of stuff, but it's just too much right now. But, you know, our condolences go to the families of the 147 people that were killed at the university and the 149 people that had a senseless, these senseless killings. I mean, I just can't, honestly. You know, I was just watching something about these two women that were arrested today here in New York City that were attempting apparently some sort of, where, you know, they're accused of trying to commit a terrorist act of some sort. And it's a lot in the world right now. It just really feels very heavy.
We need love. Energy.
Good, decent, sexy energy. But not the kind of, like, you know, we need to extend a hand to each other in love, but not like Common said, because I don't necessarily believe that. And if you have been living under a tree, basically the rapper Common came under fire recently because he went on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he said, basically, I mean, I get what he was trying to say. I just think that the way that it came out was not as, it just came out as more apologist. I guess, is that a word? Apologetic, I know, right? But is it apologetic? I don't know. It came out apologetically, I guess, toward the oppressors, right, which in many instances are white people, right? But just the idea that, oh, if we extend a hand in love to them, that they would be able to, like, see past whatever. And fuck that. Like, nah, B. You know, just nah. So, but, you know, I mean, I do get the idea that people, it is nice to be, sometimes, you know, especially if you're in a certain environment, like, people do, we do act like we lack love for each other, for our fellow humans, and I get that on a, like, a human level, but it's also, it's tough, you know, and so it is a complicated situation. I will say that I definitely don't want to kind of simplify race issues to the idea that if I, as a black woman, extend a hand to someone else, that would be all that it takes. And also the idea that, like, I just don't feel like I should fucking have to. Like, I think that black people throughout history have constantly extended hands. Even when we didn't extend hands, we were forced to extend hands. So it's like this idea that, and you guys know how I feel about this, this idea, I'm so sick of the exhausting pieces and think pieces that are like, oh, we have to be extra fine or extra better, 120% better than white people so that we can get the same shit. No, fuck that. Why? That shit is exhausting. So I just feel like, you know what, if we came to the table the same way that, you know, there's no one standard of how to be a human, right? White people don't own that. Black people don't own that. We just have to really get to interact in ways without all of the years and years of kind of perception, which is hard for black people. Like, it's hard, you know? I just don't know. I'm confused, and yeah, it's just, ay, Dios mío, you guys. Either way, the whole thing, I didn't get it. And I got it, but I didn't agree with it. And I think that, you know, the poor guy was slammed on Twitter and all these other places, and it was just kind of a little bit of a mess. But hope, short story being that I personally think it's time for white people to do some of the work in terms of really being able to say this shit doesn't fucking rock out, that whatever the fuck we've been doing, we've been having all this privilege for however many years, like, it is time for somebody else to be like, you know, it's time for us to be able to be on the receiving end from some thought and some acknowledgement. And maybe that's not going to happen, and I know that some people are going to be like, bitch, you naive. Maybe I am. But that's what I would fucking like to see as a black person. Like, that's just what I'm saying. I'm going to put that out there. I don't know. Rock with me for a little bit. So today is also World Autism Awareness Day. And shout out to all of our RIPE families and our RIPE babies that are out there and have autism and are on the spectrum. You know, I mean, honestly, with the work that I do, and I've talked about, you know, with this a little bit before, but one of the things that I do is that I facilitate workshops for families. And some of these families have are families who have children that are on the autism spectrum. And I've learned such a big amount of about autism in the last, like, year or so because kind of the workshops that I've done for families whose children have autism, that number has increased. And an amazing community full of possibility and hope. And I have to say that the parents whose children have special needs that I've met and interacted with are, like, the fucking dopest motherfuckers on the planet. Like, they are the real MVPs because, I mean, the amount of love, the way that they really have had to, like, in so many instances, readjust their lives to accommodate for their children's special needs and the way that they do it nonstop, unfailing. For example, there's one group of parents that we work with, and they run one of the baseball leagues for children with autism. You know, and it's just really an amazing thing. Like the camp, one of the agency that I work for also runs a camp, and a lot of those children have special needs, and some of them are on the autism spectrum. And the possibilities that are available, like, it's just amazing, and it's really heartwarming. And so I definitely stand in solidarity with families who have children that are on the spectrum. And I'm so happy because I'm able to now say, like, you know, there's so much possibility there. Like, you know, in some instances, it's like they're very close to neurotypical developing children. So, yeah, it's a powerful group, and continued success to the strides that they're making to support the families whose children who have autism. All right, so I don't know too much about this, but I do know that I just want to kind of bring this up in the politics section. That Nigeria's election, Nigeria had elections this week, and I don't remember the person's name. I did not write it, but apparently the incumbent lost for the first time. So it's a big deal that the incumbent has lost in Nigeria. So if you guys are more interested or you want to kind of get a little bit of a heads up, just remember that if you got Nigerian friends, you would ask them about the election. Because, you know, sometimes it's like you don't have to know everything, but you just got to know a little bit about a whole lot of things. And if you have a moment, then you read more on it. But this is a powerful thing for Nigeria. And actually, you know, it's very interesting because I was reading something yesterday, like different facts about Africa. And so, you know, like Nigeria has the third largest, like, movie kind of, I guess, creation space in the world. So apparently it is Hollywood, which you guys know here is in America, and then there's Bollywood, which is in India, and then they call it Nollywood. So Nollywood is the Nigerian movie-making capital. And for a lot of people, like, I know people joke all the time, like, oh, when I go get my hair braided, that the women are always playing those movies. And by the way, those movies are the fucking bomb. There is also, if for those of you that, like me, that really was like, I need to know what happened, there's a channel on YouTube. And it is, like, if you Google, like, Nigerian movies, you can watch some of them. So I've seen quite a few. And they're really good. You know, I'm all about the drama, like, a lot of people liking, like, Empire because of the high-level dramatics. I haven't watched Empire, but I know. Some people are going to be like, what, girl, bye. Seriously, I haven't watched, not because I'm, like, anti-Empire or anything, but because I just haven't gotten around to it. Like, I don't like to watch that much television. But I've heard that it's really great. And from everything that I've heard, because, you know, you can't be on social media and not know what the fuck is going on in Empire. So even though I haven't watched anything, I know that I pretty much know a little bit of the plot line and about the little thugged out son, the gay son, the bipolar son, the dying but not dying Lucius, Cookie that came out of jail. Yeah. I even know the music because I have heard the soundtrack, which actually is pretty, it's not bad. So shout out to Timbaland for his work on that soundtrack for Empire. And it's to the point that my son had a birthday not too long ago, and I was in his class, and his classmates were like, oh, we watch Empire. And I was like, what, y'all fourth graders? What the hell is going on? Except that then I started remembering that I used to watch Dynasty when I was my son's age. And Dynasty, shout out to anybody out there who knows about Dynasty, But yes, honey, you couldn't tell me nothing. Miss Alexis Morel Carrington Colby Dexter, what? With the fucking shoulder pads fighting Crystal, Linda Evans, Dominique Devereaux, Dexter? What? Shout out. And then they used to have that on, like, I think it was, like, what was it, like, Tuesday night? And then on Thursday night they had Falcon Crest. No, Falcon Crest was on Friday. And they had Knots Landing, too. Child. So a lot of the same shit that they would, you know, that they probably experienced in Empire. It's just black faces. But, yeah, it's like, you know, the same high-level drama that I was watching when I was 9 and 10 years old, and now they're watching it sometimes, too. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know, you guys. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I've been talking. I'm out of it, y'all. But it is Aries season. Whoop, whoop, the fuck, whoop, whoop. Yes, honey. Aries season is real. So as you guys know, today is April 2nd. My birthday is April 10th. Yes, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. I'm so excited this year. I'm turning 40. And I'm like, whoa. This one, I wish I had sound effects because then I would be like, woo! But it's just shocking. Like, the number shocks me because I always thought that when I was 40, like, I would be so much more settled. You know, like, I thought I would have, like, 5 kids. I'd be on my second husband. Like, you know, kind of have, like, 12 degrees and have, like, a house somewhere and be mowing lawns and shit, wearing mom jeans. And that is so far from the case. And I've spent, like, the last, you know, the time that I haven't been doing the ripeness has been time where I've been able to really reflect and think about the fuck it means to be 40, you know? Like, I mean, on the one hand, it's like I don't feel 40, which I don't know what that's supposed to feel like because I ain't never been 40 before. So I do know that I feel, like, physically, yeah, I get a little bit more tired, but not even. It's just more like maybe like an emotional fatigue. Like, I was one of those people that if you've known me for a long time on a personal level, you know that I love the club. Like, there was a time in my life where I would probably go to the club 5 out of 7 days in a week. Like, I would, and I would shut the shit down every single time that I went. And, you know, it's not, it's just, and all of a sudden, like in the last few years, it's just been something that, you know, when you've done something to the point where you've done it enough and you kind of, like, gracefully walk it off. Like, remember when you guys, if anybody saw, like, that last episode of The Cosby Show, when they kind of all come out and they're just, like, chilling. And it's just like, you know, you've done something and you've done it and you feel happy with what you've done, your experience, and you're able to, like, move out and kind of, like, let another group of people take over that kind of situation. So it's like, you know, that's really what I've been kind of struggling with because, oh my goodness, like, I don't want to be that old woman in the club, but I do want to have fun, you know, or just thinking about, like, what your life is supposed to look like. Like, in the scheme of, like, you know, your life, like, the spread of your life, God willing that I live a good long life, I'm new at this woman shit, you know? Like, and it's just now, very recently, that I've really begun to feel very settled as a woman. Like, as, okay, I'm, you know, like, I've hated when people have said, like, I'm grown and sexy. Like, I've been sexy for a fucking long time. I don't need to say it. And I've been grown, having grown responsibilities for a very long time, but I have not grown. So to get to that point is a powerful place. Yeah, and, you know, and so many things change, I think, when you are accepting of your space, right? Like, you interact with people differently, you process your goals differently, like, you, like, I've heard people say things like, oh, I'm redoing my bucket list, or I'm just going to say, like, fuck it, I'm doing things now in a way that I probably would have thought, you know, thought about differently before. But yeah, so it's just been a really interesting time of, like, self-reflection and kind of really figuring out what my direction is and, like, what my purpose is and what I really like and don't like and what I want to do and not do. And I don't know if anybody out there has been feeling the same way. So I don't know, call me. It's 91, the number here is 914-338-0304 if you have any kinds of, you know, any kind of comments. Like, maybe you are experiencing something too. Are you past 40 and you are, you know, kind of like you are in a place where you have processed all the things that I'm talking about, or are you younger than 40 and maybe dealing with some of the things that I have been mentioning. I don't know, you guys. But it's definitely like a really cool place. So it's just a lot going on. But, and you know, and one of the things that I've been wanting to do is to kind of have like a series of things that I want to talk about. So one of the things that I really want to talk about in the next couple of weeks, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do this, whether I'm going to do it on a podcast or whether I'm going to do it on in a video, because there is this, I don't know what to call it, I guess a challenge. It's on YouTube. It's called VEDA, and it stands for Vlog Every Day April. And I've always wanted to, like, you know, create videos for YouTube. Well, not always, but, you know, the last couple of years, I've been like, damn, I could create videos. Like, I could talk. Y'all motherfuckers know I could talk. I could talk the paint off a wall. Shout out to people that love me and listen to me all the time. But, yeah, I've been wanting to kind of talk about it, and it's just been this series that has been in my spirit. It's called The Sixth Man. The sixth woman, right? And the reason why I've been wanting to do it is because I've been reading a lot about, you know, people say like, oh, you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, and you have to really assess your circle, and if your friend, you know, just like a lot of really, a lot of commentary about like friendships and people. And as of late, I've had at least two situations recently in the last 2 years where relationships that I held very sacred have changed, and I've felt like that sixth person. And when I read those kind of things, like, they've triggered me, because I'm always like, damn, they think I'm whack, or like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about being the sixth man and the benefit of the sixth man. And also, if you don't want to be the sixth man, like, things that you can do to avoid it. So I'm leaning toward doing it on YouTube as part of the Vlog Every Day April series. And if you are interested, email me at therightnessradio@gmail.com and let me know some things that, if you've had that experience, if you've been the sixth man, because people always talk about the people that are traditionally successful, and I say that in air quotes, but people don't talk about the friends that sometimes get left or whatever. It's really hard, because there is just, it's such a complicated dynamic that I think it really does, it should be discussed. Because everybody is not going to be the person in the crew that has, like, so much stuff. But it's, like, there's value. Like, remember back in the day, Yana Van Zandt had this book called The Value of the Valley. And there's some people who have really become good at mastering some life's challenges because of whatever, like, because of bad decisions or whatever. But it's, like, even they have a value. And so to kind of put them in a place where they don't necessarily have value, I think that's really kind of fucked up. And we've been kind of, I don't know, it's like, and I don't know if that leads to having really great relationships, because when you ascend, just to automatically say all the people that I left behind, all the people that I left, like, everybody doesn't hate on you. You know, some people like their life as is just fine, and simply because you are more ambitious or whatever doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be friends with somebody who doesn't want what you want. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but I just wanted to put that out there, because if anybody is that sixth man like me or has felt like you've been the sixth man, then you might want to hear about this. But as always, I wanted to kind of reinstitute one of the things that we've been talking about before, which is like the site of the week. So, you know, I spend a lot of time online, and I just wanted to kind of remind you guys, if you haven't heard it, the podcast of the week is The Read. It's so funny, yo. Kid Fury and Crystal are the shit. So, again, that podcast is called The Read, and it is available on iTunes. Go check it out. And the app of the week is called Any.New. For people who love to make lists like me, you can actually make lists. The app will give you reminders of how you are doing it, and you can do a list for today, you can do a list for this week, and you can do a list for the future. So, for example, mine today had called the IRS. This week, it had do the laundry, and for someday, my trip to South Africa is on that list. Right Nation, oh my God, like, Blog Talk is telling me that I only have like 32 seconds left now. This is fucking crazy, because I've missed you guys. Woo! I'm going to tell you, my throat hurts right now because I've just been talking for the last half hour. But as always, write me at therightnessradio@gmail.com if you have any questions or any kind of suggestions, things that you want me to talk about. I'm back, and it feels really, really good to be As always, you guys, party like rock stars, fuck like porn stars, and shoot to the sky like the Rockets you are. I love you dearly. Have a great week. Bye.